Cold planet, hot asses. We saw The Journey, : Absolution. So you know what that means. We are live in Los Angeles to talk about the 1997 sci-fi classic, Absolution. It is a movie where you could easily be confused because I thought it was The Absolution with Mario Lopez, which I found out is an actual real thing. He does have a workout video called The Absolution. He also has one called The Ab Final Solution. That's really, don't watch that. It was a weird period in Mario Lopez's life. I was thinking before the show started, how do I describe this movie? It's tough. Mario Lopez is in a world that has been destroyed by an asteroid, and then 30 years later, but we don't know when that 30 years started. We'll get into that in the main part of the episode. But 30 years later, it seems like most of New America is in the Antarctic. And he's a soldier who's transferring to another base. And I don't know much more than that. I mean, I know weird things are afoot. Richard Grieco. Really, that's all I need to say about that. And Jamie Presley has no problem getting into a secure military facility multiple times. Like, it seems like this place is like the outpost from The Thing. It is very far away. Well, again, we'll break it all down, but I can't break anything down without my co-host. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas! What's up, jerks? How we doing, Largo?
Yeah, that's right. I watched this movie this afternoon, Paul. Don't remember it at all. It is a zero to me.
This movie is really odd because...
Is it? I'd love for you to tell me about it. I just watched that trailer and I was like, huh.
Well, when you put all the scenes together quickly, it does like, oh, right. Not much happens, but when you put it all together, it seems like a different movie.
It feels like a Nickelodeon version of Starship Troopers with tits, which sounds right up my alley. And yet, I was like, why is any of this a movie?
Well, to your point, that's really the thing I have no real answers for, and I hope our audience might. It is a movie. It is rated R.
It
has all the trappings of a sci-fi, not like a science fiction film, a sci-fi channel film.
Because it takes place in two rooms, basically.
With one room that has a little bit more, but there's one dirt room, which is kind of a fun little motif. But it's dirty. Or not dirty, it's R. There's a lot of fucks by one character in particular, which I don't think any of them were scripted. But anyway, we'll break all that down.
I can't wait to get into it.
I love myself some Greco.
Grieco.
Grieco. Grieco.
Grieco in this, thank God for Grieco is what I wrote in my notes. If not for Greco, we would be fucked.
I came into this world not liking Greco when he took over for Johnny Depp as Booker. Fuck Booker. Hanson was better on 21 Jump Street. Then Booker got his own fucking show and it sucked. Anyway, sorry if you're not over 40.
Who would have thought that Greco at this point in time would be more viable?
Gotta get him back together. Gotta get him back together.
For the love of Pete.
For the love of Pete. And for the love of Pete, let's bring out our next co-host. She might have an opinion about Richard Greco. She may not. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss June Diane Raphael.
Hello.
How are you, June?
I'm not well after this viewing. I spoke to our guest backstage. This movie put us in a bad mood.
I wanted to ask you, where do you fall in Richard Greco? Was that someone that was on your radar?
Are you a Greco freako?
No, I'm not. And in fact, I said to our surprise guest backstage, I said, is he from 21 Jump Street?
Yeah.
And she said, yes. Uh-oh, I already revealed her gender. But I said, you know, 21 Jump Street, for me, I have this memory flipping around the channels and always being bummed if the only thing that was on was 21 Jump Street. I know.
How dare you?
You were bummed that the most important show in television history was on?
For me, it
was a cop show for kids.
Yes.
What better thing could you get?
Yes.
It was great.
The only thing better was Whiz Kids.
It was the same. I felt the same way I did.
Real show.
Real show. Real good.
I felt the same way when I was watching Saturday morning cartoons and the only thing that was on was Steampipe Alley.
Oh, well, that was a rough one.
I don't even know what that is.
That's a New York specific thing. Mario Cantone hosted a show on Channel 11.
Channel 11.
And
yeah,
he would
right.
be like, hey, that's kids, right. what's up? And it was just him in an alley with a bunch of kids, but like a set alley. And he would throw the cartoon.
So like Sesame had a street?
Yeah, he had an alley.
Steampipe had an alley?
Yes.
That was it.
And there were a lot of pipes. I was looking for Facts of Life. I was looking for other things.
I hated Steampipe Alley. Oh, I hated
it. I did too.
It.
I wasn't looking for 21 Jump Street. So no, I've seen other work of his, of course.
Have you?
Maybe not, actually.
Greco?
The only thing I know is...
I'll give you $1,000 to name Greco.
I won't be able to, but listen, we'll bring out our guests, but I just have to say...
We
will. I just have to say, I do think this is Mario Lopez's best work. I do.
Well, guess what?
We got...
I do.
That's it. Introduce the guest.
Well, and again, when you said... Why? I have an answer. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is a guest who has not appeared live with us for a very long time. Over Zooms, yes, but not next to us on stage. She co-hosts Deep Dive with June Diane Raphael. Please welcome Jessica St. Clair!
Hello, hello.
Welcome. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you.
As I said to June, this film was picked for you because you hate a trash can fire. And this
shirtless
movie...
Mario Lopez. You wrote us an email that said, never have me back on the podcast unless Mario Lopez is shirtless.
I brought this on myself. I would rather... literally catch my own hair on fire in a trash can fire then watch this horrible film that made me so angry. I was so mean to my family afterwards. Yeah. I was like, get the fuck to bed. Get the fuck out of my way.
And that was to Dan? That was to your husband?
Yes. I know. It ruined my day. It ruined.
I watched you with an angry face watching this movie in our living room on an iPad with earbuds in because when I was watching it in front of the children, there was a lot of F-bombs going on. So much so that my littlest came up to me and was like, Dad, and he's like, shut the fuck up from the thing. I was like, oh, sorry, what, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, tried to turn it off real quick. And he was like, ooh. Like I was just watching
and
a profanity
machine.
Like,
are you watching The Journey, colon, Absolution?
I really think, like, this movie, I knew we were in store for something good when the first three shots are asteroid, Earth explodes, title credit, Mario Lopez.
Okay, I'm so sorry, but in between each of those, just lava.
As if they took it from YouTube, which did not exist.
It's just B-roll. B-roll of lava for the whole credit sequence, of as if the movie is going to be about lava people. I was like, I guess we're in a volcano planet.
Would have loved
guess
that.
What? No way. The Arctic.
Well, and they do something that is so upsetting to me. I talked about this in a previous podcast where, like, I like to just slowly ease into a How Did This Get Made movie.
You do?
Well, because...
Do the movies ever let that happen?
Not really, no.
I find these movies to be assaulting.
They slap you in the face.
They start with a kick in the crotch and they end with spitting on my face. And I'm like, how much did I do this for?
But I will say that it's really rough to drop VO exposition in a credit sequence that's separated by black. So it's like, it's been 800 hours. Black, music, credits. I'm almost there. It's like, wait, like you can't separate now, sentences.
I will tell you all, and I'm not afraid to say this, I rewound, because as the movie, as we got into it, I thought, oh, I've missed something.
Me too.
So
me
integral.
Too.
I've missed something so important.
Yes.
That's going to unlock the keys to the kingdom. And the narrative becomes so clear.
All of us did the same thing.
I went back. I must have watched that credit sequence.
Yep.
7 to 8 times.
I figured, I looked away and missed a crawl or
well,
a chiron.
I thought.
Yes. Maybe there were people crawling up.
And then it just says.
Weren't.
Nothing.
There 30 weren't. Years later. So from what I understand...
From now? 30 years from now?
30 years from asteroid impact.
Right. So I would imagine this movie comes out in 1997, but there's also an alternative history, which we should get into at one point, but...
That's crazy.
Yeah. So in 1997, this happened. And from what we understand is that the Earth becomes lava. And nothing really has changed. Like, turtle wax is still around because at one point, Mario Lopez says, hey, what do you, shine those shoes with turtle wax? And I was like, wow, turtle wax made it through the apocalypse. Like,
there's also, like, just to get back to the how confusing it was, and Paul, you mentioned the absolutely pointless and needless Mario Lopez voiceover.
Yes.
And the real insanity is the movie is confounding and without plot to a degree that they put it together and said, we got to put some VO in here to make sense of this.
Is so we'll that drop, it? It's we'll after drop the fact. That's what I was
it
wondering. Was it
oh,
after
it's post.
The fact?
It's absolutely. Because okay. They were like, we got to, because this makes no sense. And the VO makes it double confusing.
Yeah. Well, the VO, like, because I believe.
He's like Philip Marlowe?
Well, this is the thing, because he does VO throughout the movie a couple of times where they sit on his face. Well,
wait.
That happens later. But I will say that I don't think that...
If somebody is going to sit on your face, VO might be the best thing to do.
It muffles. It gives you a shake. Here's what I'll say. The way that he read the lines is wrong, I believe. Because he says... And I just listened to it right before I came out here. He says...
800 hours. We're almost there.
Like, it's 800 hours since I've been traveling, but I think what he wanted to say was, it's 800 hours. Like,
8 a.m.
8 a.m. Yeah. But he said it like, it's 800 hours.
0800 is right. He's meaning to say 8 a.m.
Right, because later on, he goes, what time is it? And some guy goes, 9:22, and he goes, yeah, I thought that.
I thought that, but when I think in military time.
I thought that? You never think, I thought it was 9:22.
See, like,
9 o'clock, sure, 9:30.
This is so important, Paul, because I thought it was an intentional 800 hours. And I thought, wow, where do you go that takes 800 hours?
Yeah.
Right.
Life takes 800
hours.
How long is that flight? And then I thought...
52 hours in a day.
Yeah, and then I was how long does it take to travel the whole world?
A couple times.
16 days?
Siri, how many days is 800 hours? 33 days. Yeah, 33 days.
Okay, but so how long does it take to travel around the Earth?
Siri,
I
cannot imagine. This is already
47
more
hours.
Research.
47 hours.
This is already more research than the screenwriters for this movie.
Well, no, but this is important. This is important.
Okay,
because Jessica,
what's
this
important,
important
to me?
Let me say this, Jessica. What is important is that I really thought, because that 800 hours was with me throughout the movie, and I was like, oh, they're in a different planet. Like, they are
like
not...
Like the Hoth
I would have believed
planet.
That.
Not, he would have
gone...
Or,
I just did some more research. 17 times around the world, he could have gone in 800 hours.
But, to be clear, he is
we're
saying it's 8 a.m.
Yes.
Well, now that changes
so
everything.
None of this factors in
doesn't matter.
To the movie.
This is when I knew we were in trouble.
Yeah. I feel really misled, Jess, because when I said, what movie are we doing with Jessica? Paul said, a Mario Lopez and Jamie Presley movie. And I was like, oh, great.
That's what I thought. I go, let me watch that romantic comedy.
Like, thank
let
you.
Let me see them have sex.
For bringing
not
that.
Not the fucking awful sex scene we saw on a single bed that went on for 4.5 hours.
Are
driving.
You kidding
fast
me?
Fast forward, fast forward, fast forward.
That
fast
was
forward,
the most
forward.
Realistic sex scene I've ever seen. All sex happens with no lower body movement and maximum back arching. In the scene,
she
Jamie
is.
Presley appears as though she's trying to back bend away from him.
Yes,
she
away
is.
From this movie.
She is.
She took her tits out for this.
She is
that's
wearing
a
multiple
a thong.
Women took
a
their tits
deal.
Out for this movie, and that upset me.
It's
women,
a sex scene.
Women were harmed
the
during the making
scene
of this movie.
Slows down as it goes. That's not how it works.
To me, the sex scene to me felt like it's like a party game. Like you put it on and everyone has to hit a button and be like, it's going to end now. Oh, longer? Like it's like everyone's
crazy.
Like, no, now it's definitely got to end now.
There's got to be
crazy.
Some rule about like lower body movement because I felt like there was somebody off camera being like, no, 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 you can't move. Can't move your butts. Can't move your butts or your legs.
Well,
only arms, necks, heads, and
but it's
eyes
an R-rated movie. It's R. It definitely is a bit like... body parts are out multiple times, and you know,
hers. I'd like to see
his butt's
bald
in there.
Penis.
Barely.
His butt, you're right.
That's what I'd like to see. His hairless penis. That's what I'd like to see.
You're on record. That's going to be in like Entertainment Weekly's quote of the week.
I want to see
overheard
his hairless.
At Largo, loud woman screaming. That she wants to see Mario Lopez's bare penis and balls revealed
hairless,
to be Jessica St. Clair.
Not bare,
hairless.
Please.
Hairless,
I said
sorry.
Bald hairless. Penis.
Send that to Dumois. Someone
bald.
Send that to Dumois.
So here's one thing, Paul, about the sex scene and the lower body. So earlier on, they've established that they don't take their boots off as cadets. They never take those boots
never.
Off. I don't think he had his boots on while he's having sex with her.
He doesn't play by the rules.
Okay, fine.
He's a hot shot. He's
but
a hot
I
shot.
I will say, I don't know if you felt this, Jessica, but I found there. I mean, the men have their shirts off the entire movie, which is
and
fine.
Pants
they're
off.
In their
but,
underwear.
They're
but
in
but
boxer,
I
briefs.
What I really, guys, we're all screaming. What I really resented was the length of those undies.
Yes.
It's like a Mormon
so
underwear situation.
So much so that are those military issue?
They're terrible.
Like, is that what's going on? They look like pants. They look like
a bloomers.
Sports uniform.
Like
yeah,
pantaloons.
Jodhpurs.
They look like jodhpurs.
They look like what old-fashioned baseball players used to
yes,
have to wear.
I didn't want to bring this up this early, but I feel like it's
are you wearing
to.
Them?
I got him.
It's what you put on when you make a covenant with God that you're not going to ever take off.
Another bit of connection for you in this film, Jessica, is that this movie is directed by the same guy who directed A Talking Cat.
Oh, this makes total sense.
But more importantly, he is known for a series of features called The 1313. He released 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13. Like, I think he released over 14 films, or maybe they're 13. films that all heavily feature men in boxer briefs. That's like his calling card is these films.
You know what's unfortunate though, Paul? So all of the men have wonderful figures, but they all look so terrible because of the cut of those undies. And it was just so distressing. And at one point during the sex scene, Mario Lopez, his lower body's of course not moving, but you can't
he's paralyzed.
He's on top of her like he's trying to pin her in wrestling.
Yeah.
Like
a starfish. That's called giving someone the starfish.
I can't imagine that's true.
I mean, I want to show you a little bit of these.
Yes.
We got a lot of the just chat.
This is where it gets real because there's butts and stuff in it. This is where it felt Starship Troopers to me.
Yeah, I guess we don't have a good shot of the underwear. I'm sorry. Maybe there's another part of it.
Okay, that brings me. I'm glad
sex
you showed
scene
that,
dry
Paul.
Hump.
Here's that man that we just saw on screen. Is he an alien?
Well, here's
only
a good
Greco
question.
Is.
Are you sure?
No,
what
Greco
happened to cigar burn?
So what happens? I believe.
Okay.
Go on.
Now this is what I really am going to go out on a limb
okay.
here. And this movie is completely plotless, I believe. But what I think is happening is Greco is the only actual alien. He gives, what is it, Team Z?
Z Team.
He gives them steroids that are his blood. So he's
and fluids.
Giving them...
And fluids
or whatever. So then that's why they get healed, because he can heal from gunshots and
right.
so forth. That's why they heal. That's why they start to feel really zombified or whatever. I think it's because they've been given his blood.
Okay, that's probably right. Yeah.
His jizz.
His fluids. He's...
Fluid. Jason, please use the proper term, fluid.
I'm so sorry.
And
I would have loved that sex scene. Like when Mario Lopez is up in the skylight and Greco's just coming on all the guys.
But Team Z!
And they're all like, this is what I signed up for. Who knows how much of humanity is left? Is this worth it?
But all right, so are we to believe that when the asteroid hit the Earth 30 years ago, Richard Greco was on that asteroid?
Oh.
I don't know.
Because he seems to have a good knowledge of human history.
The movie seems to theorize that was meant to weaken the planet so that they could
take over
more easily at this point.
That was what they said was like the soft assault or something like that.
Yeah. That's what Mario was giving that girl.
She's back, baby. Jessica said, she's got to go. Take care, Jess.
Here's my question, though. Why did Greco need them to reach some sort of physical peak and do all of this work?
Because they were all going
to
survive.
Because here's the thing. But I don't know if it's to survive, because it seems like they just had to get into that machine, that tilt-a-whirl thing where... If they couldn't survive that one thing, there was no way they could exit.
The next machine, that wasn't that was some sort of can they handle it machine. the next machine that Greco's in at the end is some sort of like teleport or something.
But now, meanwhile, that
on
Mario
Resolution
Lopez
Day?
Is kind of
what? Yeah, was that it? Resolution
was Resolution Day.
Day?
Reclamation
Day. But the machine that like sucks up Greco at the end, like there's a sequel here, right? Because he went up.
Did he?
That's what I said to Jason backstage. Said, I said, what is the last moment in your...
I don't know what it means. I just know what I saw.
Yeah.
And that's at the end of an entire movie, that's a failure.
Yeah. If I just watch know what the my final eyes saw.
Images, so there's a thing that says malfunction, malfunction, malfunction.
Yes, saw that.
Greco wants Jamie Presley to go with him so that he can dot, dot, dot. I'm not sure. She doesn't. And because it malfunctions, it explodes. Now, we do see Greco get teleported away.
Right.
Successfully or not. I'm not sure.
But
I don't know what
Jamie Presley was going to be in that machine with him.
Yeah, and she hadn't been given his jizz at all. So she was just...
Not yet.
She was going to get right
away. There is a moment that I've never seen a more tired actress in my life.
Yes, like, when she had the gun to her head.
He has his gun to his head. And now...
She was exhausted.
She looks like...
Do you want to know my theory?
Yes.
My theory is they had Greco for one day.
Okay.
They shot his whole thing in one day, and that was the last setup. And Jamie Presley was like, I am donezo. I've been here for 19 hours.
Because her face wasn't like, I'm tired because I'm scared or I'm exhausted from like the physicality of this moment and this man has kept me captive. It was just like, I'm tired of doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looks checked out. And I think the thing that I'm putting together is, and once you see it, you can't unsee it with this movie. Richard Greco is reading off of cue cards.
That's what I thought.
Well, he goes back at times.
Back, well, he's always like, he's like, let me tell you something. When
he does this. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. He double talks twice,
and that's why there's
like,
so many
the
fucks.
Fuck?
There's that, so many
it,
fucks.
He was like, I'll give you one take. Even if I flub it, you use it.
Yeah, and Jamie Presley's like, I took my tits out for this shit. Fuck you, Greco.
Now,
fuck
meanwhile,
you.
Also, I believe...
You don't even know your lines?
I have another big theory on this movie. That he was a last-minute addition, and they shot a majority before they locked him in. Because, in my opinion, if you took away Richard Greco, it could be that guy from Avatar, right? That
Stephen Lang.
Like you know, or the drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket. Because at one point... Mario Lopez is in the bunk, and he starts doing an impression of the guy. He's like, well, I'll say you never done do things
well,
and that.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, that's not his voice at all.
And to bolster that point, Mario Lopez, when he arrives, is told by the guy that escorts him to his bunk that the guy that Greco's character, we haven't met Greco yet, but Greco's character doesn't like Yankees or people from Queens.
Yes.
And he's a good old Southern boy is what they're intimating. But then Greco is just full-blown Greco.
And Greco turns not liking Queens into something incredibly offensive.
Different.
I mean, here's a little bit of... this is a little bit of like what you get in a Richard Greco performance.
Can I just say...
Yeah.
This is the sum total number of people who are in this movie.
Yes.
And this is one of the two rooms these people occupy
honestly,
for the whole movie.
This movie looks like it could have been shot on this stage.
Yes.
I said that I've watched Chipotle training videos that had more cinematography.
Why? Why? Why have you watched Chipotle training
videos?
Don't
worry about it.
Real question.
Writer strike, baby. I got to be prepared. I got to be prepared.
Oh, my God.
Scoop that avocado, baby. Here's a little Richard Greco.
Is this man your new barracks mate?
Sir, yes, sir. What is his name? Sir, I don't know, sir. We haven't met yet, sir.
For the love of Pete, does anybody know this rat's name?
Sir, his name is Murphy, sir.
Cadet Hubbard.
Yes, sir.
Advance Cadet Murphy and stand at his attention. You have been negligent toward your fellow squad member. As a gesture of apology and to redeem your lost honor, you will pay him a tribute of 61 push-ups. 10 for each letter of his name and one to grow on. And you're going to perform this task in the hopes you
reading cue cards, reading cue cards.
Yes, sir.
That's just a little taste of the Greek. He has a writing crop, but yes, this is not written. No one was like, we really need a Richard Grieco type. It's out of character for him.
At the same way that you would never give Richard Grieco character the repeated catchphrase, for the love of Pete. That just doesn't sound like him, and he never sounds right saying.
But let's also then walk one step further and go, at one point, Richard Grieco brings Mario Lopez into a room, and they have this scene about the Bay of Pigs invasion.
Oh, yeah.
This is fascinating.
As we speak about
do you have it to play?
I believe I do.
Okay.
As we speak about it, I start to believe that Richard Grieco improvised everything.
Oh, that's interesting.
So here, just take a listen, and we can kind of unpack this here. Here we go.
The Bay of Pigs.
The Bay of Pigs.
Yes. The Bay of Pigs, 1963. General Oswald and his men slaughtered 2,000 Marines on the shores of Dallas, Texas.
General Oswald, on the shores of Texas.
Yeah. A military genius. Wife Marilyn by his side. A glorious, glorious slaughter.
Yes, sir. Marilyn. Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess it can't be improvised because there is a picture of Oswald on the wall.
I think I can explain this. I think this is the first piece of evidence that he's an alien.
Okay.
Because he doesn't know U.S. history.
He's jumbled up history incorrectly, and they think he's crazy. But in fact, he's just an alien who's gotten history wrong. That's why Mario Lopez is like, I'm not sure it's Dallas or whatever he's...
But how could he have gotten this far in the program? And like when people came into his office, like, why do you have this picture of Nixon on your wall? Like the asteroid hit in 1997. Like,
I don't know, but that's what I mean. That's my best guess. I don't think the movie takes place in an alternate history.
I agree.
Where
I thought happened. I thought... It wasn't our first clue that he was an alien. What I thought was whatever's happened to planet Earth, or maybe we're on another planet, because again, I thought it took 800 hours to get there. We have lost history.
That's what I thought.
So okay.
Because of the virus that hit, because the pandemic has hit.
By the way, the only one time they reference it.
Well, yes.
It hit?
There's a virus.
It seemed like an asteroid hit more than the pandemic, it seems like.
Well, one probably followed the other.
So many things happened, and in that time, history got rewritten, which I was actually like, oh, that's the only interesting idea in this movie.
Yeah.
That perhaps, like...
I would go along with that.
Catastrophic
events
actually...
possible as well.
Yeah, actually created a generation that has rewritten history.
Now, the one question I have, though, is Mario Lopez has been sent from, I believe, something called the Agency? Is that
no.
right?
Well, no.
I believe, he's referred to as an agent, but I don't know what organization he's from.
He's not a new recruit, like he's pretending.
No, he requested transfer because his best friend, who when they meet seem like they've never met each other in their entire life, they speak to each other in such a way. Hey, man, what's going on? It was like...
That poor actor, the monologue that he has to deliver about what Reclamation Day is or Recreation Day or Rejuvenation Day.
He's just as confused as we are.
It is. I was like, this is, if you put these words in front of me and I had to deliver them, this man is
doing the Lord. He was embarrassed. He was embarrassed.
Like, and some sort of, I know this sounds crazy, but the stars have to align with another solar system. And
now...
He's like,
I think it happens every 30 years. Now, here's the interesting thing.
Yeah,
in my impression of this, Mario Lopez is a military man.
I'd like to perform that monologue.
That monologue.
At auditions.
And it's long, too. Oh,
it's very long. As well, we're talking about.
It barely sheds light on the events of the movie.
Yes. I mean, if we're going to talk about big monologues, we got to go backwards for a second and talk about the Jamie Presley monologue, which then is the precursor to the sex scene, because it's like, she's like, yeah, My parents were killed. I became
a
sex
movie
worker.
That's a movie I wanted to see.
And he's like, great, let's, what,
can
we have sex
now? That's Coal Miner's Daughter. I want to see that. Never saw that movie.
Sure.
Is that what it's about?
Wait, hang on. How is it
Never
like Coal Miner's Daughter,
movie.
Jessica? Go ahead. I'd love to hear what you think Coal Miner's Daughter is about and how it relates to this movie specifically.
Okay.
Please go ahead. Can you give a spotlight to St. Clair?
There's a what's that song? Fancy Don't Let Him Down. You know, about raising that's not Coal Miner's Daughter. I always felt like that was sort of similar plot.
I'm here to tell you that Coal Miner's Daughter is about Loretta Lynn.
That's right.
Who was raised in rural Kentucky,
okay.
Married at the age of 13, begins writing and singing her own country songs in the early 20s, and with the tireless help of her husband, Oliver Mooney, Tommy Lee Jones,
different.
Loretta rises from local honky-tonks to small-town record deal.
It's a little bit different.
At what point does she survive a dystopian future in which her parents are killed because one has the plague, one doesn't, and then she becomes a sex worker at the outpost?
Does Loretta Lynn sing Fancy? God damn it.
But,
this is,
hold
I'd
on.
I'd like to watch Coal Miner's Daughter.
But
that
hold on,
like
but,
a good
but
film.
Jess is right. Jess might be right because
there's always
because,
a connection.
Because Sissy Spacek was in another film.
Okay.
Called Prime.
I guarantee St. Clair didn't know Sissy Spacek was in Coal Miner's Daughter. She admitted to never having seen the movie.
Okay, well, I just want to give her a little. I want to give Jess her flowers. Because
why?
The first. The
Thank
first
you, Paul.
Film,
Paul
the
takes
first,
care of me.
The
Paul takes
the, why?
Care.
I don't understand. I heard you say the same thing in the same voice backstage.
I don't. I'm just going to clarify.
Paul helped me with my cords.
So Jessica,
he takes care of me.
Jessica came over the other day, and she was putting an outfit together, and I said, just maybe try like a button-down shirt on it. And she grabbed one of Paul's shirts, and she put it on, and she said, I like the way this shirt feels. And I said, okay. And then she said, as she was buttoning it up, she goes, Paul takes care of me.
It
was the strangest
he
thing.
Does. When I need to figure out where a dongle goes into what cord, it's Paul who answers the phone.
Oh,
not
God.
You he fucking does. Assholes.
Please.
He does
keep
take care
calling
of you.
Paul.
Yes.
Please. Let it be Paul.
So I would like to say that Jessica is kind of right because Sissy Spacek, her first film was
I'll
a movie with,
you,
Lee,
right.
with Lee Marvin and Gene Hackman called The Prime Cut, where she played an orphan named Poppy who gets sold into prostitution.
There we go.
That's no, no.
There we
no.
go.
I say no. This is
there
not a
go.
Win for St. Clair.
Paul, 6 degrees of Sissy Spacek. That's the game
now,
we're playing, folks.
You
she
couldn't
also,
name any
she
other
yes.
Sissy Spacek
Also,
movie.
25 years later in the Lonesome Dove prequel, Sissy Spacek also played a former prostitute now married with children, and the
Wonderful.
Residents must be okay with her previous occupation.
I don't
which she's
understand.
Also the town
Wonderful.
School teacher.
Thank you, Paul.
Is it simply the connection is there's a sex worker in the movie?
Yeah.
Then Pretty Woman is like this movie.
Okay. Now you're making connections. That's called yes and.
Oh God.
So here's what I'll say. Jamie Presley delivers this monologue about her parents dying, her being, sold into sex work and entertaining these men, and now she's here. And then it leads into a sex scene. It seems to me the worst possible time to have a sex scene, right? Like, yeah, and then I became a sex worker. Great.
Also,
sex
like, now? Mario, sex? I don't need
she
you to tell
says,
me it's okay.
She also says that she didn't like it. She has, like, a very negative
yeah.
reaction to it. And then it segues directly into, like, pretty uncomfortable sex.
And the best, it's the best beginning of sex of all time because...
It is? She,
well, what I will say is it's so
That's
choreographed...
That's a bold claim, Paul.
Because she... has her bra off, but it is still placed over her breast. So she lays down. The bra can be easily peeled. It's
okay,
on the hook.
Okay, see, this is why I said women were harmed during the making of this movie. Because
yes.
When she had that bra just laying across her, I was like, good, Jamie.
Good.
Like, you know what kind of movie this is. Like, that was a great choice
yes.
for you. And then in the next frame, it's off. And I think some conversation must have happened, as they often do.
Yeah.
Did they show her the dailies of that one woman who took off her bra in the previous scenes? Like, it looks so good. That's the most uncomfortable scene.
And she's forced to wear her pantyhose. That poor girl. You know how uncomfortable pantyhose are?
By the way,
the moment you can, you take them off.
Why was that? This is what I really didn't understand. Why was that woman killed?
And shoved in a locker.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay,
don't.
So while this movie's going on, there's just a serial killer?
Well, no, the villain guy kills her. The bad guy who's
but
been...
Why?
But the biggest question to me
he has some line that explains it, but I don't remember.
But there's the question to me
I mementoed myself. Forget about it.
The main character that we're looking for, Lyles, Mario Lopez's best friend, that he's got to bring a picture of his best friend to remember what he looks like.
That's weird.
My only clue to my best friend is the picture of my best friend.
Everybody in movies is carrying last night's movie, picture of the daughter. Yeah. Everybody in movies is like, I need a picture, otherwise the events of this movie cannot take place.
So, but the one character that is assumed to be dead is not. He's in the brig, but multiple other people are also dying. Like the guy in the gyroscope. He died. Where did they put his body?
By the way, they said you could be like your buddy over here, dead on the wheel. They cut to him breathing so heavy. They cut to him and he's visibly breathing heavily. And I'm like, guys, Dallas is alive.
Yeah, get him some medical attention.
I have an update on Dallas. He's okay. That's what I mean. I think they got like one take of everything, and we're like, oh, who cares? Put it in. Who cares as long as they're in long, long underwear? Who cares? All I care about is that they're shirtless in boxer
long
shorts that go right
underwear.
To the knee. They're like board shorts, but tight.
I realize
yes.
that.
Yes!
God!
Like,
with
what
those
is
socks.
This?
I do have one pair of underwear like this.
Why?
No, you don't,
wait,
Paul.
Is it for sports?
It is.
Okay.
And
okay.
It's not that long.
They are.
They
oddly are.
Long,
sometimes
they're
they shoot
long.
Down past my shorts that I'm wearing,
that's
and I'm like,
terrible.
Gotta
they
heave them up.
They shoot
yeah.
down?
That's
how do they
terrible.
Get that kind of propulsion? What are you doing?
They're like, let me
that
out.
Causes them to
let
shoot
me
them.
Out.
Bam! Oh, God. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
They are very, yeah, they are tricky shorts. It's also, when you see a man, when you see
this
a man.
Is what
they
they're
are
in
tricky,
for,
they're so tricky.
If you didn't watch the movie, this is what they're in for, I'm going to say 75% of the movie.
Absolutely. And they're
well, that's
also,
his film. That's
Paul,
his,
may
yes,
I say something about the color of them? If they were crisp. Snow White,
they're
I would be
oatmeal.
Okay, but they're oatmeal.
Yes,
they look like they're just like.
How about also the mock turtleneck? That's when I knew we were in trouble. They're wearing an oatmeal bodysuit, tucked in real tight, and you love a bodysuit.
I
Jude,
do. I wear them all
you've
the
never
time.
Met a bodysuit.
Well,
you didn't love.
T has the black turtleneck, like they're all Steve Jobs. Or Mach T.
Can I just say something? You're neglecting to look at one important fact. Yes, they're oatmeal shorts, but they're also in brown shoes with black socks.
Yeah.
They look like.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah,
I thought they were black
like,
shoes.
What, like an older man, like, oh, I just wear, you know, like, hey, where are my sock garters? Like, it is a gross look.
Guys, this is post-apocalyptic. This is all we've got.
So,
this is what we've got. And you know what we're neglecting to mention is they do such a good job seating and showing us all these guys in their boxer shorts so that later Richard Grieco, once given Mario Lopez his artifacts, can sniff his underwear.
What's that about?
For so long. For so, so long. As, this is incredible.
What the fuck is this?
Lights down, lights down. What is this? Is this Blue Velvet? Is this Dennis Hopper in Blue Velvet? Mommy.
I will say that at least the actors and Mario Lopez, when he did, like they do play it like, what the fuck is going on? I appreciate that.
That's the most natural moment of the entire film, is how disturbed those actors are. And super hot, did you
so
just say?
So hot.
But why was he smelling?
I don't know.
Because he's an alien. I think he's got like heightened alien senses and is trying to get something off.
It seemed like the smell came into play.
What? What did you just say?
It didn't seem like the smell came into play. He smelled him.
Or it's like you said, Paul. They were like, okay, we've got the guys will bring in the stuff. He's like, I'm going to do some stuff. Don't worry. Just roll on it. And then that's
because
what he did.
Because here's the thing. They know he's gone, right? So what is he smelling that stuff for?
Because he's not really
love to, like,
with him.
Identify him. Well,
or you would think he would then use his nose to like follow him and be able to track
him
or something. But no, that doesn't happen.
I thought it was more that he's like in love with Mario. That he's like has a sexual, like some sort of a sinister.
He wants his pheromones. Like,
he just is starting to lose his mind. But there's part of him that wants to devour him sexually.
Maybe. Go on. This is.
I'm gonna say
this is St. Clair fanfic for this movie.
I will say, I mentioned it before, but I do think that Mario Lopez was doing some lovely work in this movie.
Yes.
I really do. Like, this was, he is carrying the movie, and he's doing a really nice job.
He felt like an anchor to me.
Yes.
When everything else didn't make sense, there were his dimples to
rely on.
He does have a very good ability to casually toss off jokes and lines and stuff
in a
movie where everybody else is unfortunately being very by the book. Here we are. We're in the military. Blah, blah, blah. So that he can be like, who cares?
Would say what was uncomfortable to me about Mario Lopez in this film was he acted like someone from 1997. Like, he felt very contemporary in a movie where no one else felt contemporary, which is bad, but also good for the viewer who's like, I don't get it. So thank God I have one thing to hold on to.
I think that's right. And I do agree with Jessica. Like, the main thing, I was like, I don't know what planet we're on. I don't know, 800 hours, where do we travel? But I do know those dimples, and I know that they are from planet Earth.
Like, to me,
to me, I don't trust anybody else in this movie but those dimples.
To me, he is.
We're in good hands.
Yes.
To me, he is the Olive Garden. Will I eat there? Normally, no. But if I'm in a place and I don't recognize any other restaurant, that's going to look good to me. Yeah, I'm going to Olive Garden.
Yes.
I trust that will provide
me a fine
meal.
We went to Olive Garden a few weeks ago.
And it was
fucking
great.
Delicious, right?
I had never been there before. And I know.
I've also never been to Olive Garden.
Let me tell you something, Jason. I was scared to go. And Paul said, it's great. And I said,
it is. It's great.
Really? Fight me.
Quality control.
I was very scared.
It's pasta. You can't mess it up.
Thank you.
And then
unlimited breadsticks.
There was a 40-minute wait. And I said, are we really waiting for Olive Garden? And we waited and we waited and we waited. And then we went in and sat down. Service was absolutely wonderful. And a giant bowl of pretty fresh salad came out.
Tell them about that salad, June.
It was crisp.
Delicious. You can't get that dressing because
that's
a secret.
Dressing is
that's
good.
A secret.
Hang on. I want to let this go on. Is this an ad?
Whatever do you mean?
Am I not aware we're doing an embedded ad?
What? This is pure passion. That dressing is good. You get that hot bread.
With a little bit of parmesan on it. It's delicious.
My kids looked at us
as much as you want.
As if we hid this Michelin star restaurant from them.
Yes.
They said, this is the best meal of my life.
Yes.
My children's two favorite places now are Papa John's
And but for the politics.
For the politics. Well, my son says it all the time. He'll say, I know Papa John's a bad man, but I love that pizza.
Oh, that's cute. It's cute
but I
as
gotta
hell.
Tell you,
I'm glad we're advertising for these two behemoths.
Olive Garden, I have been sleeping on. And I've been sleeping
on a Casper mattress. Now, here's the thing. It arrives in a tiny box full of breadsticks.
Oh, God.
Let me ask you this.
Oh, God.
Come on. It's Saturday night at Largo.
Come on.
In a movie with a lot of homoerotic imagery.
Was there? Well, I guess I didn't notice.
In a movie with a lot of homoerotic imagery, what did you think of the scene when Jamie Presley is seducing the guard outside of the jail cell?
How did we wait this long?
This.
Mario Lopez's hand.
This. That was single. That was the craziest.
That's one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
That we believe that Jamie Presley knows that Mario's gonna know to do a reach around.
Yeah, they could not have planned that. Because Mario is in jail. They could not have planned
that. That's not a thing.
No.
That's not a thing.
But what was even the plan? Like, you get close to him. And why does he...
Wait,
I guess the question is, why does he have to touch his balls?
He doesn't.
Jamie Presley could have touched his balls and pushed him there to get choked. Because same end result.
He doesn't. It's just for fun.
That's for shits and gigs.
It's a goof. It's fun.
It's a goof.
You know, it's fun. And it's also like a little bit of a fuck you.
In what way?
Just in like, fuck you, guard. And yeah, you thought it was a woman. It's a
this
man.
This is what you could have had.
Jokes
yeah.
on you.
It's a man.
Yeah, you thought I wanted to fuck you. A man's grabbing your dick right now. From
when Jamie Presley shows her hands like a magician, she's like. But meanwhile, she's 15
howling.
Feet away from him. Of course it's not her hands. Like it was such a great, like.
It was just like, crazy. It was like, honestly, their sex scene went on for so long that I was like, well, maybe they did discuss this possible scenario somewhere that night.
Did you find it awkward or uncomfortable when he was like, I want to say he's fucking her from behind, but he's not because she's like laying, he's like laying on top of her from behind and they're just like, it's weird imagery because they're not moving really. It's just like, he's like planked on her.
This movie lives in a world in which all of sex is gentle caresses. And that's it. It's all.
I know. Yeah.
But you know what? In the Grosso movies that we have done.
Starfishing. There he is.
She is trying to get as far away from him as possible.
There's a starfish. Yep.
If I was having sex with someone and they were doing that, I would be like, "Art, stop, stop. You're going to hurt yourself. Are you okay?"
Yeah.
It is really, I mean, this movie has, you know, besides great sex scenes, amazing fight scenes.
That was a little too Mario. And again, he's committing and he is our North Star and he is our Olive Garden. But his fight scenes were a little too West Side Story for me.
Yeah. His fight scenes were like, oh, I can fight. I take Tae Bo every Wednesday, 9 to 10:30.
I'll go a step further and say all of the military scenes are also like, give me no hope that this is an effective military force.
I wrote down, this was written by someone who kind of watched a military movie. Yeah. Like, I think they say stuff like this. I won't watch it to
make
sure.
What I couldn't understand is they've got the military training exercise where they're using live bullets.
For holograms.
Again, are they holograms?
Yes, because they disappear. Yeah.
So that's what I couldn't make any sense of.
But the holograms also have live bullets.
Okay, so any headshot...
How?
That's what I mean, because our guys get hit with real bullets.
Right. So holograms are shooting real bullets
and the
from hologram guns.
Are shooting machine guns. So there's not a lot of, like, intense accuracy.
And it's also, like, because they don't have much of a set, it's just three dudes standing with their legs spread apart like they're riding a horse. Like,
There's no military training whatsoever. They're not in any formation.
They're
just,
ducking.
Like, scared. They're like... It's as if, like, it happened. Yeah, it's okay. It's as if it happened to regular people. Not at all. Even people in the military. They're supposed to be experts at this. Greco's training them terribly.
And I guess, like, when you've seen this movie or a scene like this before, it's normally a person on a range. It's like, woman with shopping cart. Don't shoot her. Bad guy. Oh, shoot him. Like, you know, it's like, this is all bad guys. And they all just popped out of different windows and doors. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like most of their training is just, like, upper body work.
Yeah.
They're jousting in one scene like American Gladiators.
And in the obstacle course, they never take cover. They're like, our job is to be as out in the open as possible.
It's wild. It's a wild movie, and I think it deserves this audience to ask us some questions or... to illuminate us. Maybe the director and writer is out here. Maybe we know about the oatmeal shorts. We don't know. Maybe Richard Grieco is here. We will see.
Mr. Grieco?
Paul, before you... okay. If you don't mind, before you do, I do just want to give my favorite Richard Grieco quote of the movie.
Yeah.
Okay? Please.
And it is, would you ram a bayonet up your own mama's coochie and feed her liver to the devil?
That was improvised.
What?
Yeah, for sure.
It was improvised, but Mario Lopez says yes to that faster than would you kill the president. He's like, would you kill the president? Yes. Would you kill your mother? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what? Speaking of a Richard Grieco line, I'm going to have you do your best version of, say, For Pete's Sake. And so say your name and For Pete's Sake and your question.
Yeah, my name's Clint. Oh, for Pete's sake.
That's really good. It's great. That's great.
My question about Richard Grieco's character is he can heal from bullets to the face instantly. His fluids...
Hey, hold on.
That's a good question, though.
I'm sorry, ma'am?
He heals from bullets to his face. His fluids cure the scar on the person's arm. Why does he have a scar on his face?
We never find out, right?
We never find out. My conjecture, Grieco wanted it.
Yeah.
Wait, who Grieco's like, what? My guy has a scar. And they were like, oh, but your guy heals from anything. He's still got a scar.
I'm going to go to the S-Man. I'm going to go to Pete the S-Man. I saw his hand up over here. All right, Pete. Right here. I'm here. Oh, yeah. All right, so here we go. We know your name. It's Pete. But give me For Pete's Sake. Oh, For Pete's Sake. Your question. Here we go.
For my sake.
Right.
I thought you were going to touch on this with the director. Yes. I have some amazing movies that he's done. Some of them probably are problematic.
Not the 1313s, the movie that he made 14 in 2 years.
So, Paul, you have a better voice, so I'm going to go ahead.
The Wrong Student, The Wrong Crush, The Wrong Man, The Wrong Cruise, The Wrong Friend, The Wrong Teacher.
So this is the wrong
The
series.
Wrong Boy Next Door. The Wrong Stepmom. The Wrong Mommy. The Wrong Tutor. The Wrong Cheerleader.
Did you say the wrong the mom and the wrong
house sitter? The Wrong Wedding Planner. The Wrong Stepfather. The Wrong Cheerleading Coach.
Cheerleading Coach.
The Wrong Fiance. The Wrong Mr. Right. The Wrong Prince Charming. The Wrong Valentine. The Wrong Cheer Captain, The Wrong Blind Date, The Wrong High School Sweetheart. And that's it. Wow.
Great observation. You had me at The Wrong Mommy.
The Wrong Mommy. me.
And very quickly, Jessica, it's so great to see you. I moved from New York out to LA. I just want to know, how is the Sinclair Fabergé egg collection going?
Well, I was going to bring up that grandmother. We used to bring her to Olive Garden all the time. It was her favorite restaurant in South Philly. And we would say that it was her birthday every time. Even if it was like, and she was mortified. But I will tell you what, do they bring out a spread when it's your birthday?
It's almost like when you're there, you're family.
It is exactly like that.
Somehow, this is a second spot? What? How much are they giving us for these spots?
In a couple
minutes.
We better
be getting Olive Garden bucks. What is this?
Hi, what's your name?
Chelsea.
Chelsea, give me your best for Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake.
Oh, I like it. All right, great. Now your question.
So following up on the director, he is actually a former adult film star.
Okay.
And this came up with Talking Cat. And there's actually a theme in all of his movies that he specifically casts men that he likes to see in outfits that he used to wear during his days as an adult film star. So that's why the casting in this movie is all a very specific body type and why they're all in their very long tidy whities and boots the whole time.
He had to wear those? Wow.
So I will tell you this. I will tell you this. As you just said this, you have unlocked a core memory. This is...
Here we go.
Oh, no.
And away we go.
Oh, no.
Paul, you have the stage.
I don't want to be sad again.
No.
Don't make me.
When Human Giant.
Paul, were you in this movie?
When Human Giant was shooting in Los Angeles, before Downtown got repurposed as, you know, very artistic and nice, it was kind of just a trash bag, bunch of stages and sets that you could get for really cheap. And so we were in this one stage, and you could rent like every floor, you could rent a different stage. And on the front of the building, we had our little poster. It said, you know, filming MTV, Human Giant. And then there was another one that says, Letters to Lonnie. And I was like, oh, Letters to Lonnie is in the basement. And so I went downstairs to go get to take a phone call. And I go down the stairs just a little bit. And as I turn, there is a naked man in a military hat and those shoes and socks.
Those?
Like that kind of like military look. And he had a hard on, and I realized that he was shooting Letters to Lonnie was an adult film, and that was going on there.
And you've just remembered
this. Oh my God.
And he was like kind of on a smoke break and was like, hey, and I was like, hey, we're shooting upstairs, and he was shooting downstairs multiple ways.
I'm shooting all over, man. Fluids, baby.
Wow.
But that look seems similar. Maybe it was.
And he just has to maintain an erection just throughout. I did craft not, service? 12-hour
you
day?
Just have to be completely hard.
We didn't,
was
I didn't stay there for
smoking?
Too long. I just remember the image of seeing.
Those.
I remember it because I was like, phone, shoes. Dick, hat, I'm going to go upstairs. Like it was all very quick.
Oh,
you know,
man.
It was not like I was there for a long time. But I remember seeing shoes and pulled up socks and like a helmet that you would wear in the trenches. So maybe.
And a hat.
All
wow,
right. So.
Paul.
Wow. Paul.
Seemed like a nice gentleman. Letters to Lonnie. I don't know if anyone's seen it. Anyone? Letters to Lonnie?
This episode promos a lot of stuff.
I wish we could watch that.
All right, we have a question over here. What is your name, your best letters... best letters to Lonnie.
Your best letters to Lonnie.
Your best.
What is your name?
Don't be creepy, Paul.
Paul gets canceled. Your best letters to Lonnie.
I mean, I wonder what was in those letters to Lonnie. I don't know. All right, your name, your best Pete's sake, and your question.
My name's Gonzo, for Pete's sake.
All right, I like it. It's understated. Great.
Yeah, I had a problem from the get-go where it's at least insinuated that he's there to find his friend, protect his friend, do something with his friend. Yet at the end of the movie, his friend is shot dead in front of him and barely reacts. He's kind of like,
yes.
He's like, oh,
barely.
Shit, I spilled some milk.
He's more upset barely. About Quintana
yeah.
than oh. he is yes. about this friend.
And also, I'm still like thinking about the mechanics of the reach around. So
agree.
Yeah, so you can clearly see it's a brown hand, so it's his cellmate. So his friend's reaching around and rubbing
it's
his
car. Jerking
the guy
hands?
Off.
Yeah.
Lyle,
so he's rubbing his cock with one hand. The guy's enjoying it for half a second before he realizes it's not Jimmy Presley. Then Mario Lopez grabs him from behind,
yeah.
insinuating that Mario Lopez is probably resting his cock and balls on top of the guy's head
yeah.
whilst this is going on.
I agree because
I
that was confusing.
And that's the
Lyle's
poster.
Hand.
That
could,
image,
wow.
you see the door, somebody...
I couldn't figure out. I felt
wow.
like they thought that was hilarious or something because Jamie Presley, she's seducing the guard.
Yes,
and
we
he's
talked
like,
about
oh,
it while you were
so
in the
good.
Bathroom.
But she just walks away and is like, and it's the guys in the cell are both jerking him off and then choking him out.
Well,
which, I can't
I mean,
believe
is
that
the
was...
name of one of this director's movies.
Yeah, can't believe that was
now. Wild. But now what I'm understanding here,
we still got it. The Olive Garden, when you hear your fucking family.
The wrong jerk off, the wrong choking him out. But now it does make sense. He's like, Lyles, let's do that thing that we do. Okay, I get the cock, you get his neck.
But you're right. I will say to your initial point, you're absolutely right. He's in voiceover. His goal is to find his friend, the guy he's carrying a picture of. They have, you know, he's his, you know, whatever. And then he finds him. Oh my God. They have a brief moment. The guy is shot dead in front of him and he's like, later.
But
okay, but here's my favorite thing about Lyle too, is that when they find each other, they have a moment together. And then I think like a few minutes later, Lyle's lying on the bed, just staring straight ahead.
Like, oh, yeah.
There's no energy of like, now we're going to get the fuck out of here. I've been trapped here.
And Lyle's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm looking for a way out.
Isn't Lyle reading?
He's like, I'm still resting.
I thought he went to go back to reading. Here, I just will quickly show you, you know, for those of you who are concerned, they didn't give his friend second look. Maybe the producer shot that as well because they added this VO. So this is the end into the VO here.
I keep going over it in my head, trying to remember the exact sequence of events. Trying to think of all the alternate paths I might have taken. Looking for the one that could have saved Lyles and the others. If I only had a second chance.
You'll get one, Murphy. Someday we all will.
No!
How? How are you given second chances at the events of the movie?
You cannot bring your best friend back to life, but I do love this
Someday
moment, too.
Someday we all will, she says? I want to be clear. This is... the last line of the movie. Some she says, you will get a second chance. At what?
You can't
at to the events
friend.
Of this movie? You'll no. be able to do it differently and save
Is
all
he
your
trying
friends?
Trying to queue up, there'll be a sequel.
I think so. I think it's like there
That's
will be
bold.
A sequel. This will because this is of course
it is bold.
It's this, the journey.
This person
absolution.
Has gotten a lot of movies made.
That's true.
How about when the journey colon resurrection?
Yeah.
I will just say, just to point out this one thing, the special effects clearly were done way after, and this moment when they're all looking at the alien, they probably said, you're going to see this cool alien being, and what they could afford was just a flashing yellow light. But they all are picturing something way cooler, so here we go.
See that your mission is nearing completion. We have monitored your progress on the blue planet for some time. From your arrival and integration into the human habitat... to your rise of command of the Academy, you have done well. But I must now urge you to accelerate the implementation of the Celestial Gate.
Letters to Lonnie.
With each hour, the survival of our great race is threatened by the conditions of our own...
And why is the evil alien the voice of movie phone? At 7:10, you can see Avatar 2, Way of Water. The Earth will be destroyed by our great leaders.
Planet. Time is of the essence. The cycle is almost complete. the attack force will be ready to strike.
So, guys, time is running out.
Their objective has to be clear.
That's such
they
soft
must be
hit.
Ready to give their lives for the cause. The weak will fall.
I swear to God, this is what letters to Lonnie look like.
I would believe
many
you.
Many years later, I shot in that basement with Christopher Lloyd a Funnier Die sketch, and I couldn't get that image out of my head.
I would believe it if this was all repurposed footage from a different movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so obviously we had opinions about this film, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinion. Zach, take it away. Woo!
What is this I see? A low-quality movie is on my screen. That means June, Paul, and Jason will have to see. Provide us all with funny commentary. Literally. If you have something to say, because you have eclectic taste, you know Amazon is the place, because no one can see your face. Grieco's character is not gay. Leather gloves and cigars all day. Are they in the military? Let's hear your opinion. Opinion, opinion, opinion. Your second opinion. Your five-star opinion. Opinion, opinion, opinion. Let's hear your opinion. Opinion, opinion, opinion. Your second opinion. Opinion, opinion, opinion.
All right, let's give it up for Zach!
Thank you. Love you guys.
Thank you, Zach. Great job. Very hard to find any opinions about this movie, but we did. The average rating is a 2.6 out of 5 stars. There are 158 total reviews. 19% are 5 stars. 35% are 1-star reviews. Timothy W. Thompson writes, "Never saw this movie before. Fun. Title, fun. 5 stars. Then we move on to Letterboxd. For the love of Pete, Richard Grieco is getting no notes on his ad-libbing in most scenes and random and clearly reading off of cue cards and others. It is tragic, but the gravitas and hilarity and charm he brings to the screen is undeniable. My favorite bad sci-fi movie. The whole set and crew, aside from Lopez and Grieco, clearly moonlit as stars of a Skinamax feature. Flamingly fantastic stars. I love every inch of every shit of this wild film."
And that, and you wrote that one?
This is the weirdest one. It's a third opinion. It's a 1-star review from Luis, and he writes, "So, I tried to listen to this movie with my earbuds, but the sound only came out on the left earbud only. And the right earbud is where you'd heard like the background sounds and footsteps. So then I started with the right earbud in, and I could only hear people talking around me. Then I noticed the characters' mouths were moving and talking, but I didn't hear anything. I was perplexed, so I had to put both earbuds in to listen. Weird. I only give it 1 star because there's zero. You can't give 0 stars. It's a waste of my time and energy. 1 star.
I will tell you, Paul, if that person had the Beats earbuds, earphones,
linked in my Amazon store. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry.
As well.
Is this an ad for Beats?
They wouldn't have
you don't
that,
lose them.
They wouldn't have that trouble because they just lay. You could wear them. They magnetically close right here like a little necklace.
You never lose
you
them.
Never lose them. They're wonderful.
Beats.
What the
Beats.
Fuck is happening?
Beats. The Beats buds.
Can we just shout out things? And
yeah.
And
yeah, if they come up.
Yeah, okay, they, wow.
You know, they come up organically, of course.
These are some of the tags that this movie has on IMDb. Sex scene. Asteroid. Male nudity. Alien. Post-apocalypse, female frontal nudity, bare-chested male, rear entry sex, blonde, lust, blonde. Kissing.
These are all, I feel like these are all Pornhub categories.
Yeah.
Kissing while having sex, man wears underwear, Woman on Top Sex, reference to Sun Tzu, low budget film, space station, military training, martial arts, bully comeuppance, independent film.
Okay, now...
What about cover zip?
That pretty much replicates almost entirely my notes. But I will say, where is there a space station?
No space station.
Unless we are on one.
Oh.
I think we're in, like, the Arctic or something, aren't we?
No, that's all of America is now...
Just a wasteland?
We're in New America.
New America is completely frozen. That's right.
Well, any final thoughts? Would you recommend this movie? Would you recommend this to your friends, your family?
No. Never.
No.
Never.
I'll be honest. I don't know if I'd recommend it to myself.
Yeah.
Having
you have no memory
that
of it.
I've seen it. Like, I don't know.
I don't ever want to discuss this again. I want to forget about it.
This never happened.
Yeah. I want to put this in a place I never return to.
That being said, I would encourage everybody to watch it.
100%. Thank you, everybody, for coming out to the show.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica Sinclair. And there is one thing I want to bring up to you, something I think is really cool that we've been doing. I am a part of this organization called Tusk, and we are raising money for our crew members affected by the strike. So what I am doing right now is helping put together a giant celebrity auction where you can do very cool things. You can actually eat corn dogs with Brett Gelman, Murray from Stranger Things. You can get a vase from Seth Rogen. You can hang out and smoke weed with Woody Harrelson. You can have me pick your fantasy draft and so much more. Head on over to TuskTogether.com, hit on auction, and start bidding now. And just a reminder, How Did This Get Made is going on tour. We are almost sold out all across all the venues we're at, but not yet New Jersey. I want to say Red Bank, we're coming for you. We want you to come out to that show. And you know what? We got a special thing lined up for New Jersey that I think might knock your socks off. I'm working on it. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there might be something really special happening that night. Now, people, I want to remind you, tpublic.com is your one-stop shop for all of your How Did This Get Made needs. We're going to have exclusive merch on tour. But the only place to get exclusive merch right now is tpublic.com. Check out the How Did This Get Made store. You can go there. You see all the designs of all of our shirts. Anyway, if you have comments, concerns, questions, whatever, let us know. That's right. Hit me up at the Discord, discord.gg/hdtgm, or 619-PAUL-ASK. 619-PAUL-ASK. You can come in, help us out, maybe even give us an alt tagline for this abomination of absolution, and we will get you on the show. A big thank you once again to Jessica St. Clair and our amazing team, producers Scott Sani, Molly Reynolds, and our movie picking producer, Avril Halley, and our engineer, Casey Holford. We'll see you next week for Last Looks. Bye for now.